in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through, legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says, it's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Let's see who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good.
Hey everybody, this is Kenny Bobian, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hi, this is Robin S., and you're listening to Javon and Therese in the Basement. Show them it up!
I can't deal with y'all.
Hey, this is Avery Sunshine, and I am in the basement with Javon and Therese. Shine!
What's up? It's your girl Monifa, and you're tuned in to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, it's your girl, Allison Williams, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, this is Lenny Williams, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese, playing My Kind of Music.
Basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through, legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says, it's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway, but she did mention none other than Shaka Khan as one of her.
Why you gotta say, wait a minute. Why you gotta say Shaka? She did mention
no other than Shaka Khan.
I'm like, where does your voice go? What happened? What's happening? Even the mere mention of her name. Silence. Oh, gosh.
Would you believe I'm blushing?
Yes. Hard. You're speechless blushing. That's the thing. Speechless blushing.
Rezzy, I can't help it.
There's a Shaka. There's a Shaka rehab, you know.
If there's a cure for this, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Senses, though, Jay.
I'm gonna send y'all some perfume. I'll definitely get an address. I'll send y'all tomorrow.
You can send me some cologne, because I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Just in case I should meet Shaka Khan, I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh God.
Okie dokie, babe. Whatever you say.
Just want to wish everybody a happy Shaka Khanaka.
All right, thank you. Let's carry on. I'm sorry.
Javon, yeah, there's a pill you're going to be able to take.
I promise not to tell them which way you went, but they're coming for you.
What time? So,
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just do this.
Thank you.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr. Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.
Hey, party people, what's going on? Ah, tonight's gonna be deep. Uh-huh. Hey, Resi Pooh.
What's happening, Silky Smooth?
Man, you know, I'm hearing an echo.
Hearing an echo?
I just heard my own voice. Anyway, it's good. It's gone, whatever it was. I have all of these things in my head, and Last Second Sally, Tammy Too Much, all of these extra personalities and all this shit. So at the last second, I decided that it would be interesting to do another rapid fire. I'm actually like a year behind in the rapid fires, to be honest. Like there's a whole entire year worth of rapid fires and interviews that we did, but it works out. To me, in my opinion, because some of the interviews that we may not remember all of what they said, or peeps we haven't seen in a while, we get to bring them on screen. It's like they're here during that period, so it works out. But I've been on a roll recently. I don't know if you noticed that. Like almost just about every week, I've been doing a new rapid fire, and today. I kind of slid home like right in time to come online and to have a piece of chicken and
piece of chicken.
Yeah, then it occurred to me, I was like, hey, now I'm behind uploading the rapid fires that I show on the like Terry Dexter that we did last week. I haven't put it up on Instagram and, you know, like I'm just a little behind with those things. It's very interesting the way I give myself these chores. I'm like, Javon, please don't have any more bright ideas. Okay. You're killing me, son. Just stop with the bright freaking ideas. But anywho, I said, you know, we should try. I'm going to aim to have a new rapid fire each show. It's not like there's not enough material. So anyway, at least, especially on Wednesday nights for some reason. I don't know why. Only because that's the day that I'm at work with the pressure. And why let the pressure stop here? Why stop the pressure? Let's just keep it going. Let's make this pressure too. Fuck it. You know? Yeah, I've heard that. But at the same time, that's not going to help.
Why not?
For so many reasons, Rez. First of all, as you've commented, you like the outtakes that I do on rapid fire. Let's just say rapid fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because I'm going through it and I put my own stank on it. I'm not a freaking control freak. You know what? You, LaVon, and the one with the eyes. The three of you. You're not my therapist. Just stop.
What?
You know, in one sense, maybe it's just that it's something that I enjoy doing, which is why I do it. So why not do it. And this way it will be done the way I want it done. What is wrong with that? I mean, it doesn't make sense for me to have someone else do my vision of something. So, in other words, there's so much material that you can grab. You can grab so much from an hour's interview. But the thing that someone else may find interesting, I may not find it interesting. So I try to make them look a particular way. And I have a certain thing in my mind. It's almost like being, if you're an author, why would you have somebody else write your book? Why get somebody else to write your book? I don't get that.
I don't see it as, I think that's a bad analogy, because the author, the information has already been done, like the interview is already there. Someone else doing it affords you some things as well, because everybody's perspective is different. That way it has a different, the information, the book, if you will, be it that you use that analogy, the book is already, the book is already there and written, be it that the interview is already there. So that's already done. What you have is a fresh perspective on some other things that may be important to the world. Not necessarily. It takes it out of being, let me say this. I disagree with that perspective, when it comes down to editing parts, you were a part of the writing itself, the interview itself, so that's going to stand regardless, but someone editing something that they find interesting, you still get to say yay or nay, but you also could get a different perspective outside that could mean something to other people that you could totally miss. That's one of the, and I'll take it off you for a second and say that there are a lot of roles that I've played throughout the course of my professional and creative career. And I found that, everything does not rest with me, whereas I'm good at a whole lot of things, I'm not good at some things. And my opinion or view is not the sole one, so when you're working with a team of folk, input is key,
That's absolutely true. I agree with that 100%. Input is very important in some things. In other things, if you have something that you want to create, then you should create it.
Right.
Now, if you need help creating that thing, if let's just say you're trying to create a thing and it's not coming out the way you intended it to come out, then definitely get some help to do it, or some advice or some input. How should I do it? What do you think? However, if you enjoy what you're doing, and hi Sage,
Sage,
and creating, I mean, then I think that you should create it. And I enjoy creating them, and so that's why I do it. And I think, for the most part, they have had some very positive feedback. I've not had any negative feedback about the rapid fires.
Oh, it's not a negative or positive thing. It's art.
Right.
It's subjective.
Right.
So it's really not art, but it's art told from one perspective when you're the only one who does it. If someone, I'm saying not do it at all. What I'm saying is if it's if you're the only one holding the brush, it's only going to be from your perspective, as it should be if it's just
if it's yourself. If it's something that you create. Let's just say, for example, Therese, you decided that each week for the show there was a particular piece of something that you do that maybe we don't know that you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did hear you singing a little bit on your chicken stew. That was interesting at the end, you know, little thing. Cute. Yeah, that was cute. I wish I knew how to download from Instagram, because definitely that's something that you shared. But
I was making fun of
that was so much fun. That was so cute. But if there was something, let's just say you write poetry. I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But let's just say you write poetry. And mm-hmm. each week you decide that you want to share your poems
mm-hmm.
on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Because I'm creative in this visual way, or I like to, maybe people think I'm not creative, but I enjoy creating. So maybe I would create an intro poetry moment with Therese or by Therese or something like that. And maybe you don't like that. Maybe you don't like what I... So then you say, yo, Jay, can I just pop in and do my poem without the intro? Then I'm like, okay, cool. All right, do your thing. And then you get on and you do your poem. You spit every single week. Is somebody supposed to help you with the poem? I mean, unless you want help with the poem. So it's the same thing. To me, it's a creative.
It's not, no.
It's creating what you create.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like rapid fire or the little visual things that I do, those are my creations. Like me being creative, actually a creative outlet. So to have somebody else do it, I mean,
I guess, you know, I guess when you want something to stay where it is, you can do or you will have all ways of supporting exactly where you need to be, you know. As you were speaking, I thought about times where I've been in like, for example, I've written scripts and things over the course of my, you know, written scripts for stuff. And by the time that if I'm going to keep it a hobby, I can open my closet and you can see all the scripts I've ever written, you know,
or
for whatever reason, I hold on to them.
Maybe your script, somebody will hear it or see it or read
well,
it. And
No. Hear me out on that. Meaning I could open the closet and see volumes and volumes of the stuff I've written as a hobby, as a whatever, doesn't matter. But the moment that, and it has happened to me, that's how I had to get this, in real time. You know, when you have other folk that are, you know, and you know what, I can go twofolds with this too. I've been a part of professional productions where there was a writer of a book, a writer of the score, you know, different people had different elements and they were all supposed to come together as one, right? And things did not move at all because of no one wanting to allow anybody else to make it cohesive, you know. And I'm thinking about myself, and that was somebody else's production. I was off-Broadway production. All this money was invested, and the show didn't go. It was devastating. The show did not go, you know.
It was your show, or you were?
No, I was at that time, I was the production stage manager for the show, mm-hmm. and there and committed like everybody else was, actors and everybody else. And the person who wrote the book and the person who wrote the score were two different people. And they could not come into an agreement and work together for the greater good because they were all committed to their own situation. Now, mind you, the book didn't go anywhere and the score didn't go anywhere separate from each other, you know, and what needed to happen was them to come together to make the production fly, where they both could have been stupid wealthy. It was a real big, and backers had given them a ton of money.
See, now that's the thing. Somebody want to give me some money so that the,
No.
Hello.
That's a different situation.
I'm just saying, you know, somebody want to buy Rapid Fire. I'm just saying.
Let's move on to something else. This is you're clear where you are, and it's to be respected, and you're clear what you want to do.
Just because it's where I am doesn't mean it's where I always will be. You know, things change, people change, situations, people evolve. Maybe there's some evolution I can do in this. And the other thing is, you know,
LeVon.
Misty, the one thing you did say was promotion. I'm always open to assistance with promotion, however that looks, whatever that looks like. I'm definitely down for that. Hi, LeVon, you missed it. There was a whole big therapy session where I'm too controlling.
That's not what was said.
But
that is not even what was said.
And I think, you know, this show, it would be. LeVon, you're late. You're supposed to. Oh, gee. Oh, no, she did say I was controlling. She did say that.
She said you were controlling?
Yeah, see, that's a direct quote. Yeah. But you're listening to WJBR, Internet Radio.
Well, you know, controlling is not necessarily a bad word all the time either, you know?
No.
You know, when it's your stuff, you do it your way, period. You know, that's it. You live and there's something to be said for living and dying on your own sword.
There is something to be said for that. You know, if you're happy, do it. And if you're unhappy, if you are doing things your own way and you are bumping your head and you are uncomfortable and you are not happy, then definitely, I agree 100%, then you should seek help. Get assistance immediately.
This is the age-old creative argument for me. It's like, okay. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Some great things came out of Philadelphia today.
Two?
Great, 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 great things.
You said two great things?
No, I said, but some great things came out of Philadelphia today.
Okay, hit me with some great things.
Yes, Philadelphia City Council did something amazing that I hope other states adopt. You know, there are more than a couple of news junkets talking about it, how it is possible. And oftentimes city council people, you know, outside of representing their immediate constituents, you know, when they get together to do something for the greater good, for the community, everybody benefits, not just the people in your area. Hmm. So in Philadelphia, everybody, all the city council folk got together and they proposed a new law that they got it passed. And it eliminates I think the identical law here was stop and frisk.
Uh-huh.
They've eliminated the pulling over of people in cars for menial traffic infractions, meaning if you have a broken tail light, they cannot pull you over and search your car.
Oh,
and
excellent.
That is a major piece of legislation that has been passed. And there are a few other states that are looking at it and looking to adopt it. I hope New York, New Jersey is one. It should be, but you know, there was a lot fighting it, and I don't know when they started, when they stopped, but the idea is that everybody came together and got it done. And traditionally, council people may not think, unless you ask them, then, you know, it's so interesting how people think and behave, because you could be like, I'm clear on the separation between thoughts and behaviors, thank God, because your thoughts or your what you say, and how you show up in what you say, sometimes are so far out of alignment until, you know, it's like, okay, you know, all right.
You didn't mean what you said.
Well, no, you meant what you said. It's just that you're not practicing what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that you mean what you say.
Okay.
And some people are very demonstrative in meaning what they say. But the reality is, there's still levels of hypocrisy in it. And Philadelphia being a city that's majority, you know, folk of color, they got that done at a council level. And it's going to benefit the city greatly because they were giving some crazy stat. And if I'm saying this correctly, they were saying like 70% of the people pulled over for minor traffic infractions were people of color.
Of course.
And yeah, and only 1%, you know, one, I do remember that correctly, 1% actually turned up with something that, you know, was punishable. So, you know, you can't say that, you know, and then I think about people like Sandra Bland and all those folks mm-hmm. that get pulled over every day, you know, that end up yep. losing lives and things in a way that just, it's just horrific how that would have benefited. You know, I think about Ferguson and all those places that, you know, had all those things happen and people just getting pulled over or you driving too fast and pulling you over.
Yeah.
I want to search your vehicle. Get out of the vehicle. I smell this. It takes the discernment out of the police's hands that way.
Yep.
You know, so now if you get pulled over in Philadelphia, it is illegal for them to do that, you know, whether they are practicing or not, and anything that they find subsequently after that or whatever, you know, gets thrown out, you know.
Well, consent to nothing. That's amazing. And so it's only in Philly. It's not the whole state of Pennsylvania.
It's Philadelphia, yeah. Hmm. Wow, really? I'm sorry to hear that.
That's terrible.
You know, I had me going through, I got pulled over once on the Belt Parkway, riding my motorcycle, and he asked me for my phone number. And I was so incensed. It took me a good maybe, I don't even know if I actually calmed down. I always make a point in saying never ride angry. But I peeled off and splashed mud all over him because when I had to pull over, there was nothing but mud to pull into. And I was trying to look for a patch of grass, but it just wasn't working. It was going toward the Verrazano. And he pulled me over, rolled behind me very closely, pulled me over now, pull over now, now, now. And that's very scary from the back when you're like, don't have anything protecting you. When I finally did pull over in the damn mud, he gets out and asks me for my goddamn phone number. And I was incensed.
Your phone number for what?
Exactly. Exactly.
What, did he want a date?
I don't know what he wanted. I was incensed. I was so angry, you know, because first of all, it was like scary to say the least. And it was just, there was no reason to pull me over. I didn't do anything. Yeah, Eric something. Eric something.
That's a trip, man.
Wow. I'm sorry, Miss DJ.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. I mean, I've had some minor run-ins. Thank God, you know, they just left me a little shaken, whether it be from fear or like that anxiety, you know, that goes along with, oh shit, this is getting ready to get out of hand, or shaken from anger. Like, I can't believe these MFers did, you know? So speaking of words, do any of y'all have a friend that turns into Girl Six when they start talking about food? Piss me off today. Never felt so dirty about stir fry in my life.
Ooh. Girl Six when they start talking about food.
I'm glad you mentioned that, but go ahead.
I probably do. If it ain't me, I probably do.
I think you kinda do, Therese, to be honest. I think when you start talking about food and the texture and the talk to Rezzy about some good food, see what happens as things starts to rise. But I'm curious about something. Speaking about Girl Six, is there, and what I'm sure there is, but what is the name? And maybe LaVon knows the answer to this. If you don't, Therese, what is the name of the sexuality where people are only attracted to voices, or they get off on like girl sex stuff, like phone sex, and not it must be like an audio sexual. Is that a thing? Is that
so? Just voices?
Yeah, like just voices. I mean, there are people that get off just on feet. There are people that get off on scent, I guess, and different strokes for different folks. This is, by the way, not a judgment. It's an honest question. Breathing hard and stuff. I was like, you know, I don't like you like that, right? And I'm at work. Could I just have my stir fried chicken? But is there a word? This is Pop would know this too, right?
Demisexual.
What is it?
Demisexual.
Huh? Is that it? I would think that would be like romanticizing or sexualizing God. Like, aren't
demisexual?
I don't know why I think that, but
I don't think that's okay.
What is it? What is there a definition?
Yeah, a person who is demisexual, a person who is demisexual experiences sexual attraction only when they feel a true emotion or bond with someone. For instance, they may not feel sexually attracted, but they could randomly see talking to someone or as a form of emotional connection, and they might be sexually attracted over a period of time. So, yeah, as in a case with any type of sexuality, there's room for nuance here. For that reason, any definition of demisexuality isn't absolutely concrete. It's up to the individual who truly defines their own sexuality and how it presents itself. You know, it's just like for voices, I don't know. I would say, what is it in the voice? What does the voice make you feel like, or how does it make you feel? Missy J is saying oralism.
Isn't it?
You know.
Oh, gee. Okay, I'm not going to say what I was saying.
You know, I mean, there's certainly, you know, people, there's certainly great voices out there. I had my routine doctor's visit, and the receptionist had an amazing voice. I was like, wow. I said, you should do voiceovers. You have an amazing voice. She said, people have said that before. I said, no, I think so. But, you know, again, it's art subjective, you know.
No, this is true. I mean, but, you know.
Everything doesn't have to be sexual, though, you know.
There we go.
I'm just saying.
Look,
you know, you stay out of trouble when you stay out of people's beds and people's loins.
Ain't nobody going to nobody's bed. Ain't nobody going to.
I said loins.
Okay.
Even that area.
We're going to stay out of people's physical loins. However, it is Scorpio season, and I need you.
I don't know if I can survive this. Man.
I need you, Therese, to... All right. I don't need you to find everything sexual. However, it would be a
I'm
fun...
listening to you, though.
It would be... What? It would be a fun exercise. Let's make this intellectual.
It's not intellectual. And I don't want people to think I'm always intellectual. But I do, but my brain kind of does function a certain way. But mostly in a laugh track, you know.
Okay.
Oralism is a sexual fetish defined as the arousal or excitement caused by sound. Aha.
I like that. Thank you.
Sexual fetish defined as sexual arousal.
That's what I was asking. What is that? Is there a fetish? Is there a name of a fetish? Thank you so much, Missy J.
Oh, Frickita.
She's a Scorpio for sure.
So, what are you saying? You know somebody who has sexual fetishes when they speak to someone or hear something?
I just.
Oh, gosh. You need to sit on the couch. LaVon, we need to get a referral going. Something. She needs to get on the couch quick. See, one time she's out roaming the world. So, you know. I'm a wordsmith, so if you're good with that, I got you. The mind must come before you get a physical good. I love you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. Oh, gosh.
You know, I just like to have fun. I do. You know.
That can get you caught up in some shit, though, man.
Yeah, but I don't. I don't.
There are a lot of crazies out here today.
These right here stay right here. I'm like that Will Smith hitch right here.
But when you involve somebody else, see, that's fine if you're doing solo projects, like if you're in your house just with yourself. But the moment you engage someone else, it has the possibilities of going bananas. It does. You know, it has the possibilities, and 85% of the time it does for no reason. Because then you go back to, I didn't do nothing. It's like, so nothing sure did cause a lot of damage. You know what I mean? Or nothing sure did cause a lot of unnecessary conflumix. You know, it's seldom nothing. The sound, if it sounds like me getting in the way.
Get in my way. In every way. Ooh. Okay. So, I don't know why I was thinking of Chaka Khan just now, but I'm going to stop for a second. Okay, I didn't stop. I think I need to play a Chaka song, right? Just a little bit. Just the Chakaholism. Just a little bit.
Did anyone else experience changes in their drive as they got older? Not so much, really. Changes meaning what? Are you talking about a difference in where you stopped and started, or are you talking about it getting worse or better, or, you know, a drive meaning less or more? Like, can you give me some surrounding stuff on that?
Specificity, Levon. Specificity.
Yes.
Chakasexual.
Yeah.
I didn't make that one up. That Sage did that. I didn't do it, okay? Just for the record.
For the record.
Let the record show.
Because the word fetish was mentioned. Yeah, you gotta make sure that you're not you're answering exactly what was said there and not pause is always a good thing. So can you answer that question, Javon?
Which question?
The question Levon says. As long as we're on the subject, did anyone else experience changes in their drive as they got older? Oh. Yeah, as women, hormonally, we are doing this. And we get to an apex of where we're most, and that's in somewhere in between, in our 40s, like between 40 and 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're supposed to be at our all-time.
I know when I turned 40, it was difficult to sit still. I was already having a hard time sitting still prior to that. But, I would say, yeah, my understanding has matured, I think. My understanding of the whole thing has matured. So I'm... yeah. I mean, you know, it's all relative. You know what I'm saying? You just don't, you know, like, yeah, man. Yep.
I don't know. Yeah. I guess I've always been kind of like, sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't.
Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't.
Never that. But sometimes I just, you know, sometimes it's the furthest thing away from where I need to be. And other times it's like, not that.
You know, for me, it's mostly always within arm's reach.
Well, yeah.
It's like one word phrase, one scent, one something, and okay.
Oh, you know.
I'm pretty much, you know.
I'd be dead as hell. I'd be super dead if that were the case.
Ah.
I remember having a really great conversation, and I don't remember how old. I want to say I was in my mid, maybe 30s. And one of my best guy friends and one of my girlfriends was not someone I was dating, a friend of mine. We got locked into this major conversation that still stands with me. I can't remember everything that was said, but it was centered around each one of our experiences in the world as it related to our sexual prowess, if you will, you know, how we respond or what our perception of that was. And I think everybody's space is different for that, you know. Now I'm not shy about, I mean, I write erotica and I love many things related to sex, but lately I've been feeling like I could hump the furniture.
You know, I say just hump it. Go ahead. Just hump the furniture. If you see that sofa sitting there looking all plush, you know, just get down on it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm. There was this book. There was this Black Erotica. I think that's the name of the book that was out. Like,
I remember that book.
Remember that book?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
I remember that book.
Everybody had, that was the talk of the town,
yes,
that book.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Black Erotica. I don't remember anything in it. Except, no, I do. There was one, I think a poem or something about her lover's hands. Was that the one?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember the name of poems, but I remember having that book. I probably haven't looked it up now. It's probably in either, if it's not in his closet, it's downstairs in a box or something. But I remember that book. It was very, very good. Very good.
Look. I'm not the one that thought of the idea. You thought of it, and hey, if you could see it, you could be it. I'm just saying.
So he said he hopes the couch has plastic on it. Like, can you? First of all, I have a little horny dog, and I don't even like him coming nowhere near me. Like, he every now and then he'll jump up in the bed, and if I'm, you know, engaged in something, he wants my attention. He'll come over, straddle my leg, and just give me one good hump. And he's a little guy, so I don't want to send him off into orbit by kicking him out off the bed, because our bed is up high anyway. Humping the like, no. That to me is like something else.
Actually, that's something that I would not, you know, actually do, like come home and start humping the furniture. But, you know, LaVon thought of it, so I thought, hey, maybe I'm missing something. Got a love seat. Let's take a love break.
Scorpio season. Like, I hope we survive this, Scorpio. I really do. I hope all of us survive Scorpio season. And, you know, and there's so many other facets of Scorpios that could be...
Don't try to get away from it. Don't try to divert. Don't try to.
There's so many different things. Like, my mother was Scorpio. Yeah. Thinking about my mother's sexual stuff is... You know?
I get you. I feel you on that. Nobody... I don't want to... Yeah. I get you on that. Speaking of your mom, hi, Miss Juanita. She's so sweet. I think she saw the picture that I posted of you and me for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And she replied several days, maybe a week later, happy birthday, Javon. Oh, my God. just the idea that she said happy birthday to me, you know, even though it wasn't my birthday.
She's a senior in technology.
I loved it. I love it. My own mother don't know how to say happy birthday to me on social media. It don't matter what it was. Ooh, don't fall now. Don't do it. My bottle of water. Trying to get better with that, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
Trying to get better.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here. I'm grateful for that, you know. Yes, she is. Please. And she's still learning the little things about space. So she calls it Facebook. But you know, and she's, you know, oftentimes she chimes in at the wrong time, you know.
I'm sorry, not for nothing, Sage, but we just hit Scorpio season. Can we hold up on the Sag season for a second? We just got to the hot spot. Okay, I dig you. I love my Sag friend. I have more Sages in my life than anything, to be honest.
Do you?
Yes.
Is that the most popular sign in your life?
I think so. Sages and Geminis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, baby. I'm gonna get it from you. Don't move it. Keep it right there. You have Aquarians.
That's first.
And I have Sages. So But not yet. Okay. So it's Scorpio season and
It just came.
I mean, you
season.
Know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to deal with the elephant in the room, which is nobody wants to deal with the scorpion in the room. But that's all right. That's all right. I'm good. I'm good with it. So, what's your week been like, Therese? What have you done this week? Different than last week. Yeah.
Different than last week. It feels like my weeks are just running together. But I've gotten a whole lot better with managing time that I'm doing my work projects, and then I've done. Some really good investing this week, which is great.
Good.
Yeah. I always like that because I'm up at, you know, some ungodly. I'll take a nap and then wake up about 2 or 3 in the morning and go online because things are cheaper and slower so that you don't run into a whole lot of traffic getting things done. But part that, part, you know, making a point. I did some follow-up medical stuff. I'm trying to get a lot of things out of the way before the end of the year so that I can, you know, start off fresh. I want to make sure I got, you know, parts tuned up.
Yeah, I feel you.
Got some blood work done, you know.
Good for you.
The last time we spoke.
That's important.
Yeah, how about yourself? Did you go checking for another therapeutic connection? Since last we spoke.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Why did you speak to Cheryl's therapist?
Because Cheryl wanted me to start using her therapist. But I can't do that.
Okay.
Because I'm too crazy. This is a very nice young lady, and I don't want to, you know, mess her head up. Therapist can't, you know, I'm sorry, but, yeah. Yeah.
You know, there'll be some things that I will always say to you in public in your face. And I get caught between opening my mouth and going.
I know. There's some things I can't say in public, too. But I tend to say them anyway. Yep. So.
So what is the answer to that is you haven't done any.
No, I spoke to her. And, yeah. What, LaVon? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can you do for me? What's up? What now? What did I do now? What? Why am I, you know, I stay in trouble. What is up? It's in trouble.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm going to whip up this, what is it? Rapid fire that I slid home and done for you all. And I hope you like it. And if you don't, well.
It's art. It's, you know, it's up to the interpretation.
It's your interpretation. Yeah.
You know who's good with that and has taught me a lot? Sagey.
You
know, he's taught me a lot about particularly when he hangs things publicly, and then when you get off, everybody has a different perception of art, and this is, you know, through the artist. I mean, he's probably he's much better at explaining it than I am. But I know that when he explained it to me about art and people's perception and how they sit with what they like and don't like, how it speaks to them. You know, he had a way of making me understand that I hadn't had before. Mm. You know.
Yeah, I have. I used to hang out with an artist, a painter artist. It was an outstanding experience going to museums with him. That was amazing. Like, just helping me to see things from a different perspective, you know. And as we grow, our perspectives should change, and our likes and our visions should change, I think. What are you ladies, what are they saying? What is going on?
Well, I think there was a question of can you share therapist? And then LaVon said, you love coming right up to that line, don't you, Javon? And Misty then said, you can't share therapist, sorry. And then LaVon says, but you never step in that water. Yeah, I mean, you know, sharing therapists can be tricky, but I'm sure somewhere in there, Cheryl probably thought, damn it, it's somebody. You need to see somebody, you know?
Basically.
Yeah. The only thing I can say is, you know, it therapy works, and you have to find the right one. And it may not be someone that, you know, you thought was going to be the right one. Because honestly, it's up to the person to want to have the experience of wellness, you know. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, you can't force a horse to water, and you certainly can't make them drink it. Not even if it's looking like Shangri-La.
And after they drink it, they're certainly going to pee.
I don't care if you love it or if you hate it. All I care about is if it makes you feel something. Yes.
I feel you on that. I like that. I like
that.
Can
I tell you, that photograph, that I, the last piece of photography that I got from you, Sage, the one with the flag, that makes people feel a lot, and I love when they feel it. I love that piece. That piece is just bomb. When people see it, I had a house guest a minute ago. Actually, I never actually shared this with you, Sage. I had a house guest a minute ago, and I had it out because I was going to frame it. So I brought it downstairs, and it was there on this tray table that I have downstairs in the living room. And you had to see their expression when they saw that piece. It was kind of like, they didn't want to get caught looking at it, but couldn't help. So I'm looking and I'm cracking up, you know. They didn't even know how to, you know, it upset their entire sensibilities. And I loved it. It did exactly what it was charged to do. It understood the assignment.
Feel that. You know what? Instead of rapid fire, we'll save that for another time because our special guest is hanging out. So what I'm going to do instead of that is usually if it's a singer, I'll play some music before they come on. But since we have a comedian, I'll do this.
Winos deal with it, though, right? Winos never get afraid of nothing but running out of wine. That's the only thing that panic a wino. Wino could deal with Dracula. Like anybody. Hey, man! Say, nigga, you with the cake. What you doing picking in them people's window? What's your name, boy? Dracula? What kind of name is that for a nigga? Where you from, fool? Transylvania. I know where it is, nigga. You ain't the smartest motherfucker in the world, you know. Even though you is the ugliest. Oh, yeah, you ugly motherfucker. Why don't you get your teeth fixed, nigga? That shit hanging all out your mouth. Why don't you go get you an offer of Donuts? That's the dinners, you know, huh? It's 1975, boy. Get your shit together. What's wrong with your natural? Got that dirt all on the back of your neck. You're a filthy little motherfucker, too. You got to be home before the sun come up. You ain't lying, motherfucker. See your ass in the day, you ought to get arrested. You want to suck what? Suck some black niggas, you some kind of freak, boy? Or ugly freak? You ain't sucking nothing here, Junior. Suck your ass on away from here, what you better do. Wanna suck some blood, go down to the blood bank, nigga. Hope you get sick. Hope you get sick. Hope you get sick.
Everybody, this is Samson McCormick.
Hey. Two of my favorites.
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm here. I'm blessed to be here.
We're here. And in the moment.
I have had to learn how to be in the moment, do that, and you know, two or three times during the day, have some snacks and take some naps.
Have some snacks and take some naps. I like that.
For those of you who don't know and who may be under a rock, Samson McCormick is probably one of the most premier comics that we have out. Now, I specifically want to leave out the word gay out of that, you know, because beyond how you identify, you're funny as fuck, period, okay? And you also attach your particular, you know, and I've seen you publicly, your particular style of comedy is also something that's very refreshing too, because you deal with, you talk about a lot of everyday instances and your experiences in those instances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know that you wanted to be a comic?
Oh, hell. I still don't know. Some days I wake up, I'm like, what are you doing? But, you know, seriously, I have always known that I've been able to make people laugh. And not in any egotistical way. I was actually speaking last night to someone about how my journey through the entertainment business and as a person has been about developing my character as opposed to ego. And so, because I see other people and they are out here being ridiculous and people go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to some of the things later. When I say developing character, what I mean is situations that I've been in. I've had to allow myself the grace to look at them with humor. So that means taking how I felt out of it, my approach, you know, might have had to change, and I had to use humor to do that. Having conversations that a lot of us feel like, you know, I'm not having that conversation because that person gets on my nerves, or, you know, I don't agree with that. Or if you would have grown up with the people I've grown up with, you would have had to learn how to be funny and laugh.
Or something, or fight, right? Or cry.
Or all of them. So, you know, to answer your question, it really just has been a way of life. And even the times when I thought about quitting this business, because it can be a lot, and when I say a lot, I mean a lot,
mm-hmm.
It seems almost as if even if I did quit and move to Alabama and get me a big cornbread-eating man with two dogs, and lock that door and never come out again, somebody would come and get me out of that house and make me do this. Yeah, what, I don't have a choice.
Do you recall the first time you hit the stage? Because you do stand-up. Like, you don't, you know, and then no disrespect intended whatsoever to anybody that, what they call, you know, internet comics. But you do stand-up live right in front of folks. You know,
my microphone is on.
Your microphone is on, and then you're in some areas where you are telling jokes that, you know, probably wouldn't go over well, you know, with that particular, like, you know, you've shared stories, open stories about being in spaces and places that didn't really want to see anybody talking, you know, with your particular style of comic. It's two parts to the question. Do you recall your first?
Any show you mean, or live?
The very first time you stepped on stage telling jokes.
Fifth grade at Concord Elementary School. I take that back. Second grade, Miss Walters' class. I can tell you about her later. Miss Walters, second grade.
So let me ask you something about that. Was that the first time? Was that how you knew you were funny, or did you already know that you could make people laugh? Did your family find you funny, and something happened, and you like, you know, I can make people laugh. I can change the mood of folks. That's power, by the way.
That is.
Actually, I think a part of it has been that I'm not close to my family.
Mm.
You know, and so humor helped me cope with that. And that's why I've been able to relate to people, because I, you know, I'm not going to get all deep, but I haven't had the easiest life. And so as a child, I couldn't recognize that I had issues, but I could connect with people well, usually people who were a lot older than I was, and I could make them laugh. Mm-hmm. And so it was just that was when I recognized it. And it, again, it wasn't like an egotistical, ooh, I'm funny. It's, this is how I connect with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Therese said, do it in a way where we can communicate, we can be honest, we can be open, and we can laugh about it and know it's going to be all right.
So what was that experience like in the second grade? What do you remember about it? What makes that the first real memory of being on stage?
Good question.
Ooh. Okay, so I was a class clown.
No, okay.
And I didn't know anything was wrong with that. you know, I just knew that the classmates were, I could hold their attention. I also would challenge the teacher all the time. I remember when we first learned about Christopher Columbus, I raised my hand and said, okay, so if he discovered America, why would Indians dare to greet him when he got off the boat?
In the second grade, I love it.
See what I'm saying?
I was in the first grade when that happened.
Wow, I love it. I love it. Even
and,
a baby knows, you see?
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought like that. It can be a good and a bad thing. But to answer your question, so I got put out of class a lot. And then what made second grade significant was I had a teacher who to this day has impacted my life, Mrs. Diane Walters, who recognized that I wasn't a bad child. I just had a specific way of learning. And to be, what, 8 or something like that, I was just very advanced for my age. So she was like, I need – what she did was she was the only teacher I had in my whole grade school who specifically – paid attention to each kid in that class and found a way to connect with them to make their educational experience positive. And the kids were jealous because they were like, you know, she was talking to somebody, the other 30 kids was like, come over here, you know. And so the thing that she recognized with me was that I was really great at speaking and that I wasn't remedial. I wasn't a remedial learner, which is what they thought I was. It was just that, and they thought I was dyslexic, and it's not that. Mm-hmm. I just process information differently.
Okay.
And so she recognized that, and she knew that I should probably be in theater or something. And so she knew that if I got to, like, speak my piece in front of the class, I would do my work. So every Wednesday she would go, if you do your work through next Wednesday, when next Wednesday comes, you get 5 minutes in front of the class to do whatever you want.
Wow. Hmm. And what would you do? What would that look like? What was Little Samson's 5 minutes of fame on Wednesdays look like? Because here's another 5 minutes on another Wednesday. Look at that. see how life is circular like that?
It is. The Adventures of Baby Squirrel. I would tell these stories, Adventures of Baby Squirrel. And so, because I was fascinated, because I couldn't go outside when I was growing up. So there was this tree, and there was a squirrel's nest there. And so I would always see baby squirrels come out of there. And I started making up baby squirrel stories. So every Wednesday would be baby, and the kids loved it. Miss Walters loved it, and it was just funny. Baby squirrel smoking cigarettes. Baby squirrel got caught stealing out his mama's pocketbook. Baby squirrel's aunt moved in and is a crackhead, stole his washing machine.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
So, you know, it was these squirrels in the window outside my window, and I just made them black people in the 90s, and yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That you know Donald Goins series that could Baby Squirrel could have its own series now.
You know what I'm saying?
Donald Goins did it. Baby Squirrel's on the way.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Do you what do you think? You know, and you've been at this in the game for a minute. You know, but I have to ask you something. You know. What do you think is going on right now? Have we become like, you know, so has society become so sensitive that interrupts the comedy and being able to, you know, extract comedy in some things, you know, because, you know, we do know, as you just said, that oftentimes humor can get people, it can be very therapeutic as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What happens to the line there? Is there a line? What happens? What's going on right now? I need help understanding.
I think that society collectively has a low self-esteem that prevents it from being able to see the humor in its flaws. Humor, I mean, society is also very hypocritical. And so in this weird way, we become, you know, you know how you're dealing with somebody and they may project on the people because they feel bad about themselves. As a society, we do that now. And so when you have something like comedy, which holds a mirror to society in a lot of ways, society does not like the way that it looks in that mirror. And I think one of the biggest things is because we can no longer laugh at ourselves, we're poisoning ourselves more. That's what I think that it is. You know, when we were growing up, and I said this in an interview last week, we teased each other. If you were fat, if your teeth were messed up, if your mama was bald-headed, if you ain't know where your daddy was, if y'all was poor, you know, if you were gay, you know, if you couldn't play basketball, if your shoes were dirty, whatever, you grew up and people made fun out of it because it was what it was. People had opinions. People are always going to have opinions. But back then, we were able to accept that and celebrate our differences by laughing, which helped us understand people aren't always going to agree with you. People are going to look at you and not understand. I think the way that we were doing it then, I don't think it was necessarily mean-natured or mean-spirited. I think it was just the truth. And I think that when we were able to do that, people's self-esteem was a lot higher. And I think the goals of society have changed. So, like, back then, the idea was just to try to have a good time and try to have a good life. And now, collectively, as a society, we are everybody seeking validation. How many likes can I get on social media? I need some people to see me. I need to be heard and seen. And so when you're looking for that kind of validation all the time, it's not easy to laugh at yourself because you don't feel good about yourself.
You know, it's interesting. You haven't
accepted yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when I was growing up, and thank you for putting that out there, Sage, he wrote the dozen.
That's exactly what I was thinking because you can't be sensitive if you grew up in the hood, in a PJ, especially.
There's always like a rites of passage in a sense, you know, and not that it's any kind of hazing or anything, but, you know, when I grew up and we called it snapping, you know, and, you know, and we would take turns like, you know, snapping on each other. And sometimes we said, you know, you got scratched and then you came back next week and you improved your game a little bit and, but it was nothing that you like you knew your mother wasn't on crack, you know, and if your mother was on crack, you know, that was the truth, but it's a painful truth, you know,
And it might
avoiding
be
it wasn't going to make it any different.
Right.
You know,
whoever came out with, oh, but that's why your mother's a crackhead. Oh yeah. Then there's something wrong with their mama too. So you go say, ain't nobody mama perfect. Yeah. That's why you got five daddies. Oh wait, which one? Oh, you don't know which one, right? You know, whatever it is, you know, I'm old, but you know, I'm sorry, Rezzy. You just,
no, you're right.
Took me,
you know,
back
and
to the Bronx.
And oftentimes, and I know that if someone said, you know, I'm on crack or whatever, you know, and it hurt me, you know, I know that that's probably an area I probably need to work on, you know, because, you know, sometimes truth hurts, you know, but I'm often wonder sometimes, you know, and please don't misunderstand me. There are some really fucked up things going on out here in these streets too. Populations of folks, you know, and I'm staying away from certain subjects right now unless you want to talk about it, you know, because I think it's kind of been talked about as much as it's going to be talked about until the two entities get together and sit down and talk. You know, we have lost the capacity to, I believe, let me just keep it on there. We've lost the capacity to be independent thinkers. And then when you have a comedian get on stage of any kind, you know, get on stage and start talking about what Nina Simone ultimately said, you gotta, you know, art's gotta reflect the times,
That's right.
So when you get on, and it doesn't mean you're right, doesn't mean you hold a candle to anything. You could be a world-class jackass, but you still have an opinion, you know? It's kind of like, I don't know, it just, I tend to wonder, to be so triggered in trauma by so many things, is that work somebody else needs to do? Or is that work that I need to do? You know, is that work I need to do? Because I don't want to be triggered in trauma behind what nobody's opinion is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, for those who don't know, you know, a lot of what I've done in the streets for large populations of in the LGBT community, you know, like this didn't start yesterday. You know, this was, I've been doing this since 82, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm not new to a lot of the experiences. Hell, I've been even arrested in some of the areas that, you know, and know the disparity and know all of the stuff that went on that goes on still. But I often wonder, like, where is our refuge if we can't find solace in something? Now, I'm not saying solace in causing harm, if that's what it is. But I'm saying something. Like, I used to be able to go see Paul Mooney. I remember the first time I saw Race live. I was like this in the audience. And I was sitting next to this white couple, and I swear that side of my body was super hot on my face. Mm. It was almost like I could feel them radiating off of me, you know? But they paid a ticket to see Paul Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the hell you're going to get.
Right.
And Race was probably one of the most prolific pieces he did. Now, what, did he anger a lot of people? Were people mad? Hell yeah. Was it true?
Well, people don't get mad unless it's true. If I say, you a chair, you ain't, I'm a, what? You a chair. What do you mean I'm a chair? You a chair. Okay, thank you very much. Have a nice day. I'm a chair. But if I say something disparaging about something that you actually are, you know, then that takes on a different feeling.
Right.
You know.
And I get and I just think that it and to go at odds, you know, like I'm not for anybody's cancel culture at all, except for canceling those books that told us things that were not did not apply to us, you know.
Yeah.
But if you want to sit down and make things better, you know, or if you want to sit down and impart a certain view that you have, you know, or a certain thing that may get you to say, hey, but that doesn't mean even the conversation will have a joke coming out of it. Because
right.
that's therapy. I mean, you know, because I could see jokes coming from a conversation, you know. What is the ultimate goal? You know, I need to hear, because everybody's pain is not the same, you know. And then if you want to talk about the division within, you know, certain communities, that's there too, you know. It's difficult, you know. And I watch eagerly, you know, and I've said some things, you know. But I just need to understand, or just at least be able to say that you're from a therapeutic, and, you know, and for those who know my background is social work, from a therapeutic point of view, there are going to be a lot of triggers and traumas, and giving someone else outside of your own self power over that is that's more harmful than that's the harm, you know, because people going to be people. They're going to say and do a whole lot of shit. And have license to do that, as you will, you know. The problem is when I want someone to see the things the way I see them, and that's the only way they can see them. That's not living amongst folks, you know. That's trying to
control.
Right.
Have you had any experiences where you were doing your comedy, doing a stand up or anything like that, and then you caught all hell for it, or have you generally been accepted and appreciated for your perspective?
A little bit of both. generally, people love, I mean, you can't not hang around me or come see me perform and speak to me and not absolutely just fall in love. I mean, come on.
That's true. That's true. That's very true.
Come on. So if I run across somebody who does not like me, I'm like, you need to go see a therapist because it's no way in the world. Like, I'm Cousin Samson. Come on.
Very true.
But there have been instances in this really weird way, like straight people surprisingly love what I talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because some of them don't have gay friends, or they might not have a relative who's out, or they might be trying to figure out if they have a relative who's out. And I don't present as like this angry gay person. I'm just kind of like a friend, somebody who could live next door to you, who may be in your family, who's just open and honest. And genuinely funny. And, you know, I don't like to go around going, but I know I'm funny.
Look, that's what's up. I dig that 100%. You look, say it, own it, walk in it. Twirl around it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, when I'm on stage, I do that for sure. But, you know, I don't like it. When I'm with people, we have a good time. We're real. And when we need to talk about things that are heavy, we can talk about it. But I think the honesty allows that heaviness to lift. And that's how we start to laugh at it. So in that regard, no, but I get pushback in these really weird ways. Like, I'll get pushback from gay folks more than anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody has opposed me more than gay men, especially gay black men.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I'm just like, God.
And why is
you know,
that? Why do you think that is? Like, what's the beef there? What's the issue?
Oh, because they want to sleep with me and I won't let them.
Well, that could be a thing.
You know, I don't know. I think I don't know. You know what I think it is, because it really did bother me. It's something I wrestled with for a long time. And I think what it is that there are so many black gay men, and I'm talking about black gay men, not gay white men, and specifically black gay men. My interactions with gay white men have been a whole different thing, because you deal with the racism and stuff like that. I think it's that so many black gay men have been told that who we are is not valuable. It's not worthy of love. It's all these nasty, horrible things. And we embody a facade, something that we really aren't. You know, we put masks on, and so I don't wear a mask. What you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. I don't mind telling you how I feel or what I've been through or what my things that I'm challenging myself to grow out of are or grow into are or whatever. And a lot of us can't do that. And so I think it's something that many of us want. And so when you see someone who's able to do that and you aren't doing it, I think you can get triggered.
Yeah.
Possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think most of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because just some of them are just horribly nasty to me. And I'm not messy. I'm not a messy comedian. I don't be talking about people, and you know, it's, we laugh about silly stuff in life and politics or whatever, but a mean person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, if I've gotten any pushback, it's been from black gay men.
Hmm.
Like the ones in my age group in the 30s, they don't really come out to see me, but the older ones do. Like, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, the married, you know, older gays, the lesbians have always supported me. Mm-hmm. And trans folks think I'm cute, like that, the black ones, but then the white ones are always, they show up to the show. They, like, if I go to like Portland or, you know, San Francisco, somewhere, one of those areas, Seattle, mm-hmm. they'll come out and you see them out there with them little notepads and you can see them writing shit down.
they stealing your material.
Yeah. They better not. But no, they'll write it down. And then they'll come up to me after the show and they will go, so I, as a matter of fact, there's a news article, you can Google it. Trans comedian and my name. Or, no, trans man confront Samson McCormack after the show. It was a news story for a while.
Really?
It was a big news story about 4 or 5 years ago. And a trans person backed me up in a corner, tried to anyway, because I used to have a joke about what it would be like if gay men could get pregnant. Mm-hmm. It would be hilarious. Like, we were on Maury, and, you know, he'd bring out that envelope. And, you know, when I'm screaming, you know, I'm not even a top. That ain't my baby. You know, stuff like that. And this female to male trans person came up to me after the show angry about that joke. I still have a vagina. I can get pregnant. I found that offensive. And I'm like, but you're not a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I really don't know what you do, but you're trans. I'm talking about my experience as a gay man. Mm-hmm. And he just was just in my face, just this and that. And I had to remove myself from the situation because I'm not going to lie, I'm petty. And at that point, you're purposely trying to piss me off. Now I'm going to start pushing your buttons and I'm going to say some stuff you might not like. So let me leave before I step outside of character.
Yeah, when you make your button so readily available, that's when you can really get pounced, you know. It's kind of, you know, and I get a therapeutic comedy, you know. And I guess that's subjective, like Javon and I were talking about art right before you came on and how art is subjective, you know. And I also know there are some artists that piss me all the way off, you know, with their lyrics toward women. You know,
right.
All the way off. But guess what I'm not doing? And they have huge platforms and say some real crappy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what I'm not doing? I'm just simply controlling my power and keeping my power. And I'm not buying their stuff. I'm certainly not looking for a ticket when they come to town, you know, and damn sure not tuning in on any interviews that they're doing. I just, you know, they're just non-existent to me in my realm of whatever it is. And I'm talking about some huge platforms. Like, you know, I've been watching this stuff recently going on with Lil Nas X, who I adore, you know, and we've needed an artist like him that is, and I say like him, but not, you know, specifically, but someone who is just going to write songs about, you know, his experience and be authentic to himself without having to be concerned about who is digging it, who's not, you know, with a huge platform, you know, and clearly a lot of money put into it and creative because his stuff is good. Like, I listened to his entire album and I was like, wow, he's saying some stuff up in here, you know? And it's not an experience that you, everybody can relate to, obviously, but you know, there's some things in there that goes, wow. I remember saying to myself, wow, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I just think it's so refreshing for a Stonewall gaze, you know, and I'm laughing because, you know, when Dave mentioned that, you know, like Marsha P was my friend, you know, I understand, you know, and I also know that there may be some things that she would have laughed about, you know. I have trans brothers and sisters up and through my house, you know, who I call family, affectionately so, you know, thought the shit was funny. And in some veins was like, oh yeah, well, that ain't funny, but fuck them. You know, it's just a lot of,
But I think, isn't it more so the white trans community that's upset?
See, I take it, well, or I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean,
who's
I don't
more.
Know who's mad.
I don't know
you,
who's,
you
I don't know
whole,
who's mad.
Video about it. I actually posted it, but I didn't get a chance to look at the whole thing, unfortunately. But what was your take of the whole Chappelle thing in a nutshell, kind of?
I don't think black gay people, LGBTQ, most of it, we don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care. I haven't found one yet who cares unless they, and the ones that I find do, they haven't watched the special. And so I'm like, how can you be angry at something that you don't understand the full context of? And if you listen to what he was speaking about, he was talking about gay white racism. He was saying it is a shame that, and we're proving his point, if you hurt some gay or trans person's feelings, you'll get crucified, but if you kill a black person, nothing will happen to you.
Yes.
And so he was talking about like the baby who killed a dude in Walmart. Nobody said anything about his career, but he made some crazy statements on stage about AIDS, and that's what it took.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then basically he was just saying, you know, he said in the special, it's not black gay people who are going to be upset by the things that are said. It's going to be gay white folks. And some of them who 10 years ago were saying, okay, well, you can only talk about this. And then when you stay within that, then they transition and were like, now I'm a girl, so don't talk about that either. And, you know, we are proving this point. And, you know, as black gay people, who I would hope, I know we read and pay attention and things like that, but you would think that more of us will really understand that. So when I've seen a few black, especially trans folks online going crazy, and I think most of them don't care. They just want to work. That's it. They're trying to get a job. I understand that, but I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, how much of your comedy transfers into your dramatic roles as an actor?
Oh, how so? What do you mean?
Meaning when you – drama obviously is much different. Well, comedy can be drama, but, you know, drama and acting and when you're known for – not to say known, but when you're known for predominantly comedy, and then you – and I've seen you in some dramatic roles – you know, how much of your comedy or your understanding of the drama helps you connect with your characters as you portray them?
I think quite a bit. It all is about observation. The only difference between comedy and drama is timing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a quote that says, I forget who said it, is, drama appeals to the emotions, comedy appeals to the intellect. And so it's switching the two instead when you do a dramatic role. And I really would like to do a very meaty dramatic role. Just because this past couple of years I'm at a place where I'm balancing a lot of my life now.
Okay.
It's creating a lot of inner tension. So I would like to channel that into something so I can get that out. So I could have a way to maybe express it negatively, but it not be negative in life. But there's a lot of like, and I'm holding it and I want to release it. And I really would like to do a dramatic role right now.
So what kind of dramatic role, like a psycho thriller or something that's very dealing with life on life's terms kind of drama, angry, like what, when you say?
Maybe a little Denzel-esque.
Angela Bassett-esque.
Oh, you want to burn some shit down is what you said. Angela Bassett she just burn shit down, okay?
Yeah, no, I don't, you know, I think, I do, first of all, I don't like to say this out loud, but I think, like, people know who I am, like, you know, people know who Samson is, but I think some people still need to get woke up about what I really got going on over here, and so, I'm getting older now. Like I'll be 40 in 4 years, which is not old, but it's not old, but you know, I say that because one of the biggest things I've had to wrestle with is not being bitter.
Okay.
Because, you know, when we are growing up, we're told, look, you do this, 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 and this. By the time you get this age, you'll be doing this and have this. And so then you get there and you like, you know, you really have to learn how to look out over the landscape and go, this is what it is. Now, how can I try to position myself that so that when I get here, maybe I can have it look more like what I would like for it to look like, you know, because many of us aren't given the tools and things like that. Okay. And so you have to go through life and learn.
Okay.
And so I would like to, there was a point I was going to make, I forget what it was, but I say all that to say.
The type of role you wanted to play.
Well, yeah. Something where I can just channel all that in there.
You may have to write it. You know, Sage is asking, Sage Gallen, I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he is a Renaissance artist, quite like yourself. And he's asking, do you write? And sometimes if the role is not present for you, you may have to write that role.
I know. I actually can write my ass off. And, you know, it's a lot of ass to try to write off. But I have written everything that I've done. I've written it myself. I have friends who, you know, most of my contemporaries are on either Broadway or, you know, they've gone on to do some television show. And I'm the only one who, you know, who hasn't gotten a chance to do that
yet.
And so, it's coming, and yes. I've had to like really just almost every day. And I really, one thing I will say is I'm happy. I've learned to be grateful for having to really have some things that I want delayed. Because it's really taught me how to be happy for people. Just celebrate it like it's my own. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that I knew how to do 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy that I have learned that. That's a whole different story. But what I've really had to do was like learn not to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of my career has been, okay, well, this isn't going on right now, so maybe I'll go over here and do this. So I write my own material. I write all my own scripts. I have about 9 movies out, stand up and written scripts. And in 2017, I did a film that was nominated for an Oscar award. I Live Here. And that was directed by Shane Watson. And yeah, we got nominated for Independent Narrative Oscar in 2017. But you know, it's not like people don't know, like when you hear Oscars you think best film, best actor, best actress.
So they have a lot of categories.
70 categories, and we got one.
Let me just say this. I don't know why I did not know that you were nominated for an Oscar. I do know that.
I don't brag about it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not an issue of bragging. It's information about who you are and what you've accomplished and where you've been, and it speaks volumes. And it's not a bragging thing. Sir. From this day forward, okay, get it together, Mr. Samson McCormick.
Yeah.
Not just award-winning, Oscar-nominated, okay? And if they can't handle the truth, that is the truth.
And understand something. We've gotten a lot of, like you just mentioned, Columbus. I have my Columbus trauma too, okay? And I'm going to say it to you. We had a lot of bullshit in these books that we know ain't right. Right. I'd much rather know that, you know, particularly, and first, you know, we connect a lot, Samson. So I didn't know that, you know what I mean?
So now we got to have we got to have you on the show again just so I can do a whole nother flyer that says Oscar nominated.
You know, because that's important. That's important that we tell our stories. Thank you, Sage. It's important that we tell our stories. It's important that we narrate and we write. And how about this? How about your journey
because perspective is key, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about your journey? You know, we've had some major deep conversations in person and, you know, and otherwise, but I will say, but how about your journey was to force you to write because the content is needed from your lens, you know? How about this wasn't over here because that wasn't yours? What was yours is to do the writing piece so that we can have something certifiably ours. Yeah, you can always play in somebody else's stuff, you know, but that means that's less time that you have to create your own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what, and oh, and Say says, no, bro, that's something we need to brag about because there's someone out there that needs to know why they can do it because you have done it.
But at the same time, I get the sense, and I could be wrong because I've been wrong about most things most of the time. However, I get the sense that you, when Sage says you have done it in all caps, you may not feel that you have done it. And that may be because you have so much more to do, but I don't know that you still feel the joy of that particular accomplishment. And I don't want to like bog you down in it. I just want you to know that for us, you know, it would be like, I don't know, think of back in the olden days when, you know, there was only one black baseball player and how everybody rallied around when Jimmy Lee got a trophy, you know, We all need to celebrate in your accomplishments. So when you're bragging, you're not bragging. You're sharing. You're giving
informing.
It to us. You're informing us so that we could celebrate you. That's what this show is about anyway. Us celebrating you, and you've just given us more to celebrate. And so thank you. And that's why I'm harping on that. Because I love you for that. That you just, you know, it's like my brother McCormick, you know, my brother Samson, you know, is doing his shit and writing it himself and creating it himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if nobody wrote the screenplay for you, you are writing it. You are standing on stage. You are developing things that are bringing you recognition. Let me tell you something personal. You know, that's been my story. I can just barely sing but wanted to be on stage. I had to write a whole damn CD, make a band, buy out the place and do a damn concert because wasn't nobody going to hire me with this voice. But I'm just saying, if you want to do something, then you do it. And people like me need to hear people like you say, hey, I this far with that, and I'm still pushing to get further.
Yeah, you know, I agree. You know, it's a lot of stuff. Like, I think the reason why I don't really revel in it is because I don't get like people know me and, you know, people come out to the shows and stuff, but I don't get like the all of the recognition for things. People know, but it's like, I'm not going to say anything negative, but people know, but I just haven't had like that moment where people gave me my flowers. And I've been doing this for a really long time. And so, I've been to the White House. First LGBT comedian, the headline, the Howard Theater, Yochi's in Oakland, the National Museum of African American History and Culture. I was there in their first year. And so they've had me back every year. And they're going to induct me into the museum. So, you know, it's like all this different stuff going on.
You know what?
And then when I first came out, like, there were no black gay comedians. It was me and Andre Kelly. We were the only two. And nobody was hiring gay comedians. So, gay comedians.
Okay.
Like, as far as, you know, showing up, standing up on stage and going, you know, I'm dating this dude or, hey, everybody. Nobody was doing that. Me and Andre were the first two. And so that of note that people knew of and that sort of thing.
That were actually, let me just make sure I'm understanding, that were actually talking about gay content in your stand-up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there were no black men doing it. You know, like, he was on the West Coast, I was on the East Coast. And, again, you know, funny. You know, I say that very humbly. Like, I'm really great at what I do, but none of the club bookers were hiring. Some of the lesbians, you know, the lesbians had like what was the name of that cruise?
Olivia Cruises,
Mish Fest and Brown Sugar Bash, because, and you know, the different clubs, because the lesbians were the first people bringing me in. I was the only headliner at only male headliner at like Lace Lounge. They wouldn't let men in those clubs. Like, you had to bring a lady escort to bring you in and say this one's okay, and you couldn't stay in there for over 2 hours. Mm. You know, Phase One in DC was like that. Brown Sugar Bash was another event. It was for black lesbians.
Did you say you went to Mish Fest too?
I didn't go to Mish Fest. They tried to get me into Mish Fest, but they weren't those guys, they weren't having it. But they tried. Some people did try to get me in there, because, I mean, I was the only male performing at, like, lesbian events. And it was just, I don't know why, you know, that was just something I was having a chance to do. But nobody was hiring any of us for shows, so I had to, like, go to gay clubs and say, hey, this is what I do. Then I had to go to the press. I had to sell tickets, come out to the community. You know, TV, they weren't letting us on TV. Arsenio was going to let me on his second go-around, and then he got canceled. Yeah, and it's just like a push. And then, you know, as far as the TV, you know, these shows that have been on with black gay people on them have had people that know me. Like, they know me. And they're directors or in production or whatever. And they could easily go, you know, hey, we got this going on, and I want him to come in for a couple episodes or whatever. And they didn't. You know, and these are people I could tell stories. I'll write a book one day. But, you know, they could have helped me, and they did not. They had opportunities where I was there, and it literally was, if they said yes, I would have been on one of these shows. I would have had a certain role or whatever, and they said no. So I had to go write my own stuff. So,
That's it.
We did a different direction with Daryl Stevens and Miss Laura from Queens of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That sold out in 11 cities. We went to 12 that sold out in 11. Then I did a party and play, that's not done yet. It's done, but I don't think enough people haven't seen that yet. It's on YouTube right now. And then I did what's the name of that film? Love the One You're With, which is on Amazon Prime now.
All right.
And it's one of the top streaming LGBT films this year on Amazon Prime, and it's number 13 in the UK.
And you're working on two things right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then B-Boy Blues will be out soon. Me and Jussie Smollett did that mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. And something else I'm working on. I forget what it was. And then, of course, the comedy special.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, look, you're doing it. You're there. You may not feel it, and you may not be getting the accolades from those you think should be or hoped would or whatever, but it's bigger than you realize. It's so much more than you realize. And there's some little young gay black boys who are watching you and saying, wow, I want what he has. I want to be where he is. And they're watching you, and they know that they can because mm-hmm. of you. If they catch this and find out that you've been nominated for an Oscar, imagine how their minds will be blown when maybe they thought the most they could hope to do is do stand-up like you, when there's so much more. You're a fucking phenomenal. You are a phenomenal human being.
Yes.
And that's why we're going to play rapid fire with you.
Yes, I was going to ask, I hope we can get a rapid fire in with you. And Misty J says, hey, can't wait for a little bit. And Pookie, yes, that's going to be hilarious. Shout out to James, too, for that. James Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an actual, and I'll tell you something, Samson, you may not be able to see it right now, but you will in 5 seconds. So I think your job is just to keep moving your feet and get ready for whatever's coming your way. Because I bet you are aligning yourself with a position that not many have been afforded, just based on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and don't
no
forget,
is never a no. No is not right now. It's not no. It's just not right now. And it doesn't matter because I don't even think you'll be interested after you get what's in your plate to have,
mm-hmm.
you know, real talk. Because owning is a, you know, and I wish somebody had said that to me a lot earlier about owning your stuff as opposed to being assistant or being in other people's things. Because that's where we have the power. That's where we have generational wealth. That's where we, you know, the ownership right there. And if you've written things and you've had things in the can and you have just hold on. Just hold on. I don't know what it feels like in your skin. I'm not even going to, you know, profess to, but I can tell you that I'm listening and I'm like, okay. Okay. And all this stuff is just tech rehearsal for the big show.
Well, you know,
the big show.
I will say, you know, two things. I'm happy that I have been able to give other people opportunities. Because my thing is, I don't like to say this out loud, but I'm really good at what I do, you know? And so when I write something, it's going to be a hit. I can guarantee you that 9 times out of 10. And so there have been actors who I brought on, and, you know, they got fans now. You know, people looking them up and they're getting other gigs and stuff, and I connect them with other people I know who do production, and now they're getting other jobs and other work. I will say also most people, they're getting paid too. Everybody who has done work with me is still getting paid from whatever they work with me on. So on YouTube, you know, I had folks who put their music in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time somebody watches it, they get paid. I got paid on the road. So they get paid up to now. Every time somebody watches a video, they get paid for somebody listening to their music on the movie. For Love the One You're With, every time we get, like, everybody from that film gets residuals. So I like the way I do things.
See what I'm saying?
I like
it. Can you say that again, please?
I like the way I do things.
Okay. Okay. Because honestly, if you don't keep that energy about you, if you don't have it about yourself, ain't nobody going to have it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're not required to. But if you say, I'm the shit, then people will buy into you being the shit because, one, you fucking are. That's just it. You know, this is not smoke and mirrors. This is the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just what it is. Jay, can we get some rapid fire? Do we have time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to end up going overtime.
Okay.
So you're going to, in the middle of this, you're going to hear a countdown, 90 seconds, 60 seconds. Ignore that. Just ignore that. We'll
run out the room. Okay.
Yeah. No. Just ignore her. She just wants some attention. Don't worry about her. I got it.
All right. Cool. So the name of the game is Rapid Fire. We're gonna ask. It's a word association game. You know that. And I'm gonna say a word. You say whatever comes to mind. Whatever comes to mind. There are no wrong answers. They're all your words. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So my first word is Richard Pryor.
Oh, the king.
Mom's Madeley.
Oh, legend.
Marsha Warfield.
Oh, the truth.
I'm gonna turn a left here. Bernie Mac.
The real deal.
George Carlin.
Oh, George Carlin. The Told It Like It Was.
Gratitude.
Necessary.
Faith.
Necessary.
And my last word is going to be, or phrase is going to be, Black boy magic.
The best thing in the world, second to Black girl magic.
Oh, nice.
You're up next, Jay.
Okay. Black men.
Sexy.
King.
Black men.
Queen.
Black women.
School.
The Village.
Christopher Street.
Oh, gay. Gay people. Hey.
Rainbow.
Gay white people.
Comedy.
Necessary.
Lesbian.
U-Haul.
He ain't lying.
I hate you.
Are you done, Jay?
No.
Okay.
He got two more coming. All right. I'm sorry. That was a good one. You got us there. Broadway.
Gay men.
Chaka Khan.
Oh, vocals.
All day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. You want to give us a drop for the show, hon?
Yes,
so
please.
You're going to give us, "Hi, I'm Samson McCormick, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese."
Hey, y'all. It's Samson McCormick, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
That's perfect. Okay, and then you're going to give us one for our radio station. It's "Hi, Samson McCormick, and you're listening to WJBR Internet Radio."
Hey, y'all. It's Samson McCormick, and you're listening to WJBR Radio. I'll do it one more time.
It's Internet Radio.
Okay, I got braces on too, so I'm over here. Okay.
You're doing good. You're doing real good. WJBR Internet Radio.
Okay. Hey y'all, it's Samson McCormick, and you're listening to WJBR Internet Radio, baby.
I love that one. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming through, Samson. You are the bomb. And anytime you got anything going on, let us know. And we'll be excited. I know I'm speaking for both of us. But I believe that Therese will be just as excited as I am to see you.
Thank you so much.
Tell everybody how they can catch up with you, how they can follow you and Google you or whatever they do to you, you know?
Well, I could tell them a lot of things to do to me. No, okay. You can Google me. What else?
Instagram,
yes. It's just @ Samson McCormick. So just @ Samson McCormick, like my name is spelled there. And I also have a YouTube channel, which has really great content on it, and hopefully I will be making some new content very soon. But until then, I have comedy specials on there, films, commentary on political issues, social issues, culture. And I'm still touring, even though it's COVID outside. You know, I go out. I still come on the road here and there.
And how can someone get in touch with your management in the event they need you?
BookingSamson@gmail.com, or you can go to SamsonComedy.com, and there is a contact form on there. And I have a lawyer now, hey now, and I have two assistants, And then I got some more folks who just come on. So I like what I'm over here doing right now.
See what I'm saying?
Love
See what
it.
I'm saying?
Love
Empire
it.
Building, my dude. Empire building.
Exactly.
One brick at a time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thank
All
you
right,
so
now.
Much. Everybody have a good, good night. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we will see you on Saturday. Samson, stay sweet. You are so
yeah.
sweet. So
yes,
sweet.
He is.
Thank you.
A little chocolate kiss, isn't he?
Ain't he like a chocolate, a chocolate kiss? Peace out, everybody.
All right, bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Kenny Bobian, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hi, this is Robin S., and you're listening to Javon and Therese in the Basement. Show them love!
Can't deal with y'all. Hey, this is Avery Sunshine, and I am in the basement with Javon and Therese. Shine.
What's up? It's your girl, Monifa, and you're tuned in to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, it's your girl, Allison Williams, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, this is Lenny Williams, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese, playing My Kind of Music.
The basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. Yeah. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know. Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway, but she did mention none other than Shaka Khan as one of her.
Why you gotta say, wait a minute. Why you gotta say Shaka? She did mention
no other than Shaka Khan.
I'm like, where does your voice go? What happened? What's happening? Even the mere mention of her name. Silence. Oh, gosh.
Would you believe I'm blushing?
Yes. Hard. You're speechless blushing. That's the thing. Speechless blushing.
Rezzy, I can't help it.
It's a Shaka. This is Shaka rehab, you know.
Cure for this. I don't want it. I don't want it.
Oh, senses, though, Jay. She's like, she's got
our ears. I'm going to send y'all some perfume. I'll get an address. I'll send y'all out tomorrow.
You can send me some cologne. Because, I mean,
cologne,
you know.
Yeah. I
just in
that.
Case I should meet Shaka Khan, I wanted to smell really, you know,
oh,
nice.
God. Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Shaka Khanika. All right. Thank you. Let's carry on. I'm sorry.
Javon, yeah, there's a pill you're going to be able to take.
I promise not to tell them which way you went, but they're coming for you.
With time, so
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just gonna keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just do this.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr. Ooh. Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.